I'm going to be talking about rejection, the spirit of rejection. And I was sharing with a couple of people, this is the second time this weekend that God has done this to me. I just came back last night from a women's conference, and I got to speak at a women's conference, and I followed one of the most dynamic speakers, preacher, woman in the world, I feel like. And then I got up there, okay? So this morning, now I'm following my daughter, Morgan, who is absolutely a dynamic speaker. So the Lord is really being funny with me this weekend. And so here I said, and I'm gonna talk about the spirit of rejection and dealing with it at the same time. Are they going to like me? Am I going to be as good as them? All those things. But rejection is something that we, just like all of these others that we've talked about and I'm going to talk about, something that we all have dealt with in our lives. And I want to pose this question. What if the greatest battle in your life isn't what happened to you, but what rejection convinced you was true about you? And I can ask that question to you because I've had that question asked to myself, and the Holy Spirit has brought that to me in years past. And my poor husband, Pastor Mark, we were at a marriage conference years ago, and man, it was just so good and refreshing. And they sent us back to our hotel room and gave us some homework to do. And we were going through that homework, just flying through it and just loving each other and thinking this was so good. And then all of a sudden, there was a question posed in that homework that they had given us that brought something to my mind, my memory, that I had apparently blocked out. And it was something that happened as a child, that my biological father had completely rejected me one day. My sister and I were at home, and he had told me he was going to come and get us. We hadn't seen him in a while. And he told us he was going to come get us and spend the day with us. And when he got there, I was so excited, and I got my sister ready, my little baby sister, and I got her ready and all the things. And when he got there, he walked in. He, you know, was happy to see us. He picked up my little sister, and he walked out the door and got in the car with her and drove off. And I had not remembered that until the day that I was sitting with my husband at this wonderful, happy marriage conference, and I broke and I fell apart. He didn't know what to do with me. He grew up in a home where it was a Leave It to Beaver, if any of y'all know who that is, kind of thing, where the mom was and dad and the marriage and all the things seemed perfect. You know, that's the kind of life he grew up in. And I grew up in a home that was broken. My mom took me to church. She did everything she knew to do, and she did a fantastic job. And she made me who I am today, her and Jesus. So, but I grew up in a home completely opposite of that, and he didn't know what to do with me. He was like, oh, I'm sorry, baby, you know, those kind of things. But it was from that moment on that I realized what rejection was doing in my life, but not only in my life, what it was doing to the people in my life and what it was doing to my marriage. And even though by that time in our life, we had a strong marriage, I believe that if I had not recognized rejection at that point in time and began to deal with it, our marriage would have been, I mean, a whole lot different, because I depended on him for everything, and I was always seeking his approval and accusing him of this and of that, and why don't you love me enough? Those sort of things. And that's what rejection will do to you. I have not looked at my, I hadn't even read my notes yet, y'all. I got to get on this. So, can you tell I preached this weekend? Rejection is not just what someone did to you. It's the meaning connected to what, to your heart are attached to it, okay? So the enemy attacks, rejection is an area where, of the soul, where the enemy attacks us and tries to keep us in bondage. When rejection is there, we're in bondage, okay? All of us have been affected by rejection because all of us have been rejected at some point in our life. Rejection is a painful tool that the enemy uses to steal the best of who we are, and it reinforces the worst that has been said and done to us. Okay? The enemy just starts injecting these lies into us, and we start believing those things. Rejection is a weapon the enemy uses. It tries to steal your identity and convince you that your worst moments are what define you. The reason we all deal with rejection is because we were all born into a broken world. We were born separated from God. It doesn't mean that God wanted to reject us. It means we were born sinners. And we have a sense of separation. Thus, we have rejection. Rejection can block us from experiencing true relationship with God and others. And rejection builds a stronghold of insecurity and self-sufficiency. But the problem is, people were never meant really to be rejected, and God never meant for us to be rejected. Romans 1 and 7 says, God loves you dearly, and He has called you to be His very own people. Man, I just can't reiterate the importance of having the Word in us, because just like this scripture right there, Romans 1 and 7, if all of a sudden we begin to feel rejection and that starts rising up in us and we're recognizing what that is, if we have the Word in us, that scripture will come to us and we can be reminded that God loves us dearly. It doesn't matter what people are thinking or what we think people are thinking. God loves us dearly, and He's called us to be His very own. You have to have the Word of God in you. In Isaiah 41 and 9, He says, I took you from the ends of the earth, from its farthest corners, and I called you. And I said, you are my servant, and I have chosen you and not rejected you. God made us to need love and acceptance through relationship from Him and others. But Satan's strategy is for us to be isolated, independent, self-reliant, and guarded so he can reiterate the narratives of lies and hurtful words that we've heard, which results in bitterness, anger, and oftentimes depression. And that goes on and on. Depression and suicide and all the things. But there are ways that we are wounded by rejection, and the ways that we are wounded by rejection are passed down behaviors, generational strongholds, things that are passed down from generation to generation. So just like so many other things, that spirit of rejection can be passed down. And passed down. So that's a whole nother session, I believe, but we need to learn about the spirits and how we can break those generational things in our lives. Life events, maybe some were rejected by parents, like I was. Some have been abused, you know, at school. I was always that kid that I felt like I was the last person picked, okay? And we can laugh about those kind of things. And we're talking about them as adults. We can laugh about that stuff. I was the last one picked for the dodgeball team, or I was the last one picked for this or that. And we laugh about that sometimes. But in all reality, that could be the very root of where rejection comes from. And then, of course, the enemy takes that, and then he builds on it throughout the years. Maybe you're rejected because of skin color or your financial background. There's so many ways that rejection can come in. Most of us can remember hurtful words. Some of these are even hard for me to even say, but it's true because so many of these things didn't happen to me, but things that people have said to you and you're not wanted. When you hear the word, I want a divorce, I hate you, I don't understand you people, you're a waste. You know, and again, these are hard for me to say because I can't fathom saying them to somebody, but most of these things never were said to me, okay? So my rejection obviously stemmed from something very different. I wish I'd never met you. I wish I'd never had you. Oh my goodness. Or I've never loved you. Critical words cut us deeply, and curses were being placed, literally. Word curses were being placed on us by those kind of words. But listen to what the Word of God says again. Psalms 27 and 10 says, though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know that full well. Some of these are very familiar scriptures that sometimes we just say kind of cliche, but my prayer today is that this word will get deep down inside of you. His word just roots inside of you and takes over those roots of the fear and the rejection. So no matter what people have said to us, let's believe what God said about us, that no weapon forged against you will prevail, and you will refute every tongue that accuses you. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and this is their vindication from me, declares the Lord. He's declared this over you. We have no control over our past, but we do have control over what we believe now and what we believe in the future. We have a choice. We can choose to overcome rejection, or we can choose and be overcome by rejection. It's a choice. It's a choice. Ephesians 2 and 6 says, God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realm with Christ Jesus. And God, in Romans 8 and 31, if God is for us, and y'all know this one, we have to speak it out though. If God is for us, then who can be against us? I want to say it like this. If God is for us, then who cares who's against us? You know, who cares who's against us? We have the God of all creation that is for us. Okay, get back on track. The truth is that God is always working on our behalf, but the enemy wants us to think otherwise. Because words have such power and influence, the enemy constantly is reminding us of the negative, and the Lord is constantly reminding us of the negative, and the Lord is doing just the opposite. We have to listen to the words. Four common ways that maybe we've dealt with the spirit of rejection that have proven ineffective, okay? And has possibly led us into more pain. One is pride and control. We tell ourselves that we're better than others so that we won't care if we get hurt and we get rejected. We try to control our lives and the lives of others, and we often hurt others before they can hurt us. This is hard to say, but I've caught myself in reading and in studying this. I've seen myself in some of these. We sometimes make a vow or a promise that we'll never be hurt again. I'm not going to let anybody hurt me. So we harden our hearts to keep other people out. Another way is the spirit of rejection lies to us is through sexual lust. We seek a sexual partner for affirmation, and we think this next relationship will heal the wound of rejection, because if only I had her or only had him. Another one is material lust. I don't want to talk about this one. I wish Pastor Mark wasn't in here right now. Okay, so then there's material lust. People think that if I just had, and I'm saying people, okay, not me. People think that if they just had more stuff, I'll be happy. If I just, if I just had a bigger house or more new clothes or jewelry, a car or a boat, I'd feel better. Those things, that these are just things, okay? And lastly, exclusion by surrounding yourself with, this is so big, man. We're surrounding ourselves with only people who we think act and think like we do, okay? So we have a tendency to do that. This creates a sense of in-group, but insulates you from growing your circle and developing rich and diverse relationships. So thus can cause us to develop prejudices and more deeply divide relationships with others.
What is the word for that? So, you said the pride control, sexual lust, material lust.
I don't have one. It's just, and lastly, exclusivity. It's exclusion by, and so I use that word because I can't say exclusivity. Okay. I'll give you my notes in a minute. So, exclusion by surrounding yourself only with people who think and act like you do. This creates a sense of in-group, but insulates you from growing your circle and developing rich and diverse relationships. We develop prejudices that more deeply divide relationships with others. The truth is, rejection leaves us with a God-sized hole in our heart, and we try only to fill it by someone or something other than God. Isn't that true? So Ephesians 1, 5 and 6 says, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. So lots of us struggle with trusting the truth that we are acceptable to be accepted by God. Okay? Here's the truth. We are accepted not because of what we do or what we don't do, not because of how we succeed or if we're good or good enough. We are accepted not because of who we are or where we came from, but because of who God is. Yeah. So today, we're going to believe the truth that we are accepted and we are valued because of Him. We are accepted by God, admired by Him, and have His full and unconditional love. There's some of us that may have unforgiveness in our hearts from the pain we've experienced from rejection. And later today, we're going to have an opportunity, like we do in service, to pray. And if any of these topics are coming forward and really speaking to you, we have this opportunity to pray, and we will walk through that, and we will pray with you. And believe me, I've had to, as I've studied some of these and read over some of these, I've had to do some deep digging and praying over myself and asking God to dig deep and get the roots out. And so it's nothing to be ashamed of. It's not a weakness. It's a step of faith when you walk forward for prayer. Some of us need healing from negative words and lies and curses that have been spoken over us and that we've believed and we've lived out. Some of us need healing because we've never heard the words we needed to hear. And some of us have been rejected because of our own background, because of our backgrounds or whatever. And then some of us have been rejected by a spouse, parents, family, friends. We may have even been rejected by ourselves. And today is the day to choose forgiveness and to walk in love and to receive God's healing. The key to forgiveness is having a revelation of the incredible love that God has shown us through His Son, Jesus. God has forgiven us a debt that we could never pay, and He doesn't expect us to pay it back. We don't need to live our lives feeling like we have to pay back what God has done for us. So what some of the ways we overcome rejection: by exposing it, by rejecting the lie, by believing the truth and agreeing with God. So we're going to deal with rejection in all its forms and declare God's truth about ourselves. They're going to put the, there's a declaration that I want us to all say. Do we have that to put on the screen or no? And if we don't, we can do it later. Do we have it? Can y'all see that? Let's just see if we can all say this together. And as we declare this, we are declaring this over ourselves, okay? I am blessed with the spiritual blessings. If God is for me, who can be against me? I am chosen by God. He has rejected. God loves me so much that He gave His only Son for me. He chose me and appointed me to bear good fruits. I have the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Lord, everything You say about me is true. I am holy and blameless. I am redeemed through the blood of Jesus. I am an heir of heaven. I am seated in heavenly places. I am God's workmanship. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I am valuable. I am accepted. I am a new creation. I am a citizen of heaven. I am rooted and grounded in love. I am more than a conqueror. I am an overcomer. I am healed. I am free. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we will move on now. I've said mine.
I want to pray. There's a prayer that we want to pray together. Can we stand together? Sure. And I'm going to ask that you maybe just repeat this after me.
Yeah.
It's a prayer of repentance. So, Heavenly Father, remove the walls of rejection.
Remove the walls of rejection.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I turn from every lie. Known and unknown. That I've believed. That has given rejection. And any power in my life. In Jesus' name, amen.